Reading Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. And these and all things, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, for God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect.
Good morning, church. It's interesting how often folks want approval. We seek approval of others all the time. And unfortunately, sometimes we're seeking their approval to the neglect of God. Interestingly enough, children seek the approval of their parents. You know, they would like to do things their parents like. And like that, students seek the approval of their teachers. They want to do what their teachers or professors would like because they'd like to get good grades. And they sometimes seek the approval of their colleagues even more than the approval of their teachers. We seek the approval of the government because we want to live by the laws of the land so that we'll stay out of jail and we won't have to pay fines, and all of those things are important to us. Oftentimes, though, we seek the approval of those around us more than the approval of God. And our text today is really there about very much about that, seeking the approval of God, because that is what really matters, God's approval. And how do we gain that approval? Our text indicates that we gain that approval by our faith. And that's what we've been studying for the last several weeks as we worked our way through Hebrews chapter 11, that wonderful chapter on faith. Our text begins today with this wonderful story about the fall of Jericho. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. You'll remember that wonderful story. They'll march around the city of Jericho. Interestingly enough, good old Joshua is told, I want you to get 7 men with 7 trumpets and march around the city for 6 days in a row. And then on the 7th day, you're going to march around the city 7 times and blow the trumpets, and the walls come tumbling down. Now, that's a matter of faith, isn't it? I mean, what in the world should 7 trumpets have to do with walls coming tumbling down? But yet they did it, and God blessed them. And one of the ladies in that city is this wonderful lady that we read about next. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. That Rahab story is, again, a wonderful story. You'll remember the spies go into the city and she will hide them away and protect them. And interestingly enough, she has this wonderful bit of faith that she says to them. She says, your God is the God of heaven above and earth below. Here she is in a pagan culture, but she's come to believe in the God of these Jewish folks. And she says he's the God of heaven above and the earth below. So she has faith. And she'll say, okay, now, when the city falls down, I want you to protect me and my family. And so they'll say, okay, hang that cord out the window and we'll know which one is yours. And indeed, you'll be protected, you and your family. The city comes tumbling down, and in fact, they go in and find her, even though the other folks have basically been killed. They find her and her family safe and sound, and they'll take her outside. And interestingly enough, she doesn't live with the rest of the community. Our text is interesting because it makes it very clear that she is a harlot, a prostitute. Now, I think it's really quite interesting because the Jews really don't like that kind of description of one of their great heroes of their faith. Because, again, she will marry a man named Solomon, and they'll have a son named Boaz, and Boaz will marry Ruth, and later on, Boaz will be the great-grandfather of David. Now, do you want the ancestor of your great king, your greatest of kings, to be a prostitute? So interestingly enough, the Jews will say that she was the keeper of a house. They don't tell you what kind of house it was she kept, but she's the keeper of a house in their attempt to save her. But she's come to faith, and it's her faith that makes the difference. If you're reading along in the book of James, it's really interesting because James will talk about 2 people of faith. First, he talks about Abraham and his faith and his willingness even to sacrifice his son. We saw that a few weeks ago as we were looking at good old Abraham. And then he'll talk about Rahab and her faith. I think it's really quite interesting. James is trying to cover the basis. Abraham is a man and a good man, and he's a Jew. And Rahab is is from the city of Jericho. She's probably a worshiper of Baal, and she's a woman, and she's a prostitute, of all things. But everybody is saved the same way. They're saved by faith, and that faith makes them practice it, makes them do something about it. If you've got faith, you've got to act. And so she acts. We read on. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. I love it. He basically says, I'm running out of time here, guys. I could talk about all of these folks, but I don't have time to talk about them. And so I can't tell you about Gideon. You remember good old Gideon? Gideon is the guy who says, God comes to him and says, you're going to be my great warrior. And he says, God, are you sure you got the right guy here? I tell you what, could you make the dew fall on this little cloak that I lay out there and everything else is dry? And God says, okay. And then he says, well, that's pretty good. How about the next day, let's reverse it. And God does that. And then he's ready to take his men and go against the Midianites. Ah, a huge force of Midianites. And he has 22,000 men. And God says, that's too many. You see, the danger is if you go in there with those 22,000 men, you'll think you're victorious because of you and your might. And I want you to send home everybody who's afraid. And so he sends everybody home, who's afraid. He says, if you're afraid, go back home again. And the number gets down to 10,000. And God says, that's still too many. I want you to go down to the creek, and I want everybody to drink some water from the creek before we go to battle. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. Everybody who bends down and drinks the water out of the pool, you're going to send home. But the folks who will get their hand and lap the water with their mouth, you get to keep those folks because they're looking diligently and they're not turning their back on what's around them. But you're going to use those folks, and there are only 300 of them. And so with 300 men, he goes to do this battle, and he's sort of a little nervous about that, right? 300 men against this huge army? And God says, if you have faith in me, you'll be victorious. And he has faith in God. And then there's good old Barak. Barak, we know him better by his cohort, Deborah. Deborah is the judge, and he's the great fighter, but he has faith, and he's victorious. And then there's Samson. Samson is a judge, but he's not necessarily a pretty good judge most of the time. But at the very end, he'll be put his hands between the two pillars, and he's going to pray to God that God will be mighty, and he'll push the wall down, push the pillars down, and the whole building will collapse and kill. And he'll kill more in this one event than during his whole lifetime. And then there's good old David. David is victorious, the great king, after a man after God's own heart, even though he's a sinner and does some wrong things, puts his faith in God. And that's what makes the difference. And good old Samuel, he's the wonderful prophet of the Old Testament who, and the last of the judges, he makes wonderful things. And then there are all those other prophets. I could talk about all of those folks, he says, but I'm not going to. By faith, they are the people who conquered kingdoms and performed acts of righteousness and obtained promises and then shut the mouths of lion and quench the power of fire and escape the edge of the sword. From weakness they were made strong, became mighty in war, and put armies to flight. It's an interesting list of other great feats in the Old Testament. And you're supposed to remember those stories. I think his good Jewish audience would. You'll remember, shut the mouth of lions. That's got to be good old Daniel in the lion's den, right? And then they quenched the fires, all those fires. That's got to be good old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then there are, in weakness made strong, God will say, I want you to go with just a few men and do these wonderful, victorious things. In weakness they're made strong. They became mighty in war, and they put armies to flight. And there are those wonderful, wonderful stories about these great heroes of faith. But he's not quite done yet. He still has a few more. There are women who receive back their dead by resurrection. That's interesting. Women who there are any number of folks he could. He could be talking about the widow of Zarephath and Elijah's going to raise her son. Or the Shunammite woman and Elisha will raise her son. Could be them. It could be that he's even jumping ahead to New Testament times. The widow of Nain who's lost her son and Jesus will raise him. Or it's Mary and Martha who have lost their brother Lazarus. He could be talking about that. Or he could even be jumping ahead to the early stages in the book of Acts, and he could talk about the widows at Joppa and this lady named Dorcas who had made all these garments for them, but they've been redeemed and been brought back from the dead because they have faith in God. God makes the difference. Others were tortured. Interestingly enough, there's this wonderful story about a tympanum, a large wheel, to which folks were tied, and then they were beaten as they were tied to it. And then I like this other part. So they attained a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, and yes, also chains and imprisonment. And so all kinds of terrible things happened to folks because of their faith. They were stoned. Now, that whole period about folks being stoned could well refer to some other important characters. You may remember that Jezebel will have a fella stoned because she wants his property, and it could be him. They were sawn in two. We're not sure what that story is about, but there's a wonderful story among the Jews about this sawing in two of good old Isaiah. Supposedly, they made a saw with wooden teeth and sawed him in two, but he remained faithful. And so we think that might be the story they have in mind. It's not in our Bible anywhere, but the Jews tell that wonderful story. They were put to death with the sword. There are some great folks who will die with the sword in the Old Testament, as well as some New Testament characters like good John the Baptist. And you may remember that the first of the apostles to die is a man named James, the brother of John, and he's put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and ill-treated. Who could those be? I mean, what kind of folks go around wearing those kind of things? Well, could be people like good old Elijah, because he did that. Or could even jump to the New Testament and get the story of good old John the Baptist, although it's their camel hair. But it's terrible things. They're ill-treated. They were men of whom the world was not worthy. I love this part of the story. It's really interesting because King Ahab will say that Elijah is not worthy to live. And our author flips it the other way around. You see, the world's not worthy of them. Here are wonderful people of faith. They are people of faith. They wander in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And again, that could be any number of folks. Good old Obadiah hid 100 prophets and 50 in each in two different caves during the time of King Ahab. Elijah himself will hide in a cave. And so it's there. David and his men will hide in a cave when they're being chased by Saul. And so you see that kind of thing, and here they are hiding, but God is protecting them. And then we come to the last two verses, the ones that we read together a few moments ago. And all these, having gained approval through their faith. Who's the one that we really ought to want to gain approval from? It's not our neighbors, and it's not parents, and it's not teachers, and it's really we ought to want to gain the approval of God. But they gained approval through their faith. They put their faith in God. Despite all the terrible things that might happen and did happen, they put their faith in God. Because God had provided something better for us. Now, isn't that interesting? our author says it's for us that God has provided something better. We're going to get something better than even they got. You know, God redeems them many times. He comes to their rescue many times. But we have something better than that that God has prepared for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. And the word perfect there, we think of perfect as sinless. That's not the point. It is mature, whole, complete. They're not going to be made whole apart from us. You see, the part of the story that makes all the sense is what God does for us in Jesus. And so in Jesus, He's going to redeem us, and we put our faith in Him. What a wonderful story. People of faith. And we've worked through these for several weeks now, this long chapter in chapter 11, all of these wonderful people of faith. But we're called to have faith as well. Put our trust in God, and He will redeem us. He has redeemed us in His Son. He sends His Son to die on the cross for us. Isn't that a wonderful story? You see the significance of this whole chapter, a whole chapter on faith. He ended the last chapter by saying, you're not like the folks who've fallen away. You're folks who have faith. And then he shows them what faith does, how faith acts. And he gives good examples of that. And now he calls and says, you know what? Even those folks back then weren't saved apart from us. Because God is saving everybody, whoever has been and ever will be saved, by His Son. I think that's interesting. We sometimes, I think, assume that in the Old Testament, folks are saved by offering sacrifices. No, no, no. God had a plan from the very beginning. And anybody who's ever been saved and ever will be saved is saved because of what God has done in Jesus. Some folks are waiting for that event. These folks of faith in the Old Testament were waiting for that event. But our author is saying, we've seen it, folks. How dare you think about turning your back on what God has done for you in Jesus? How dare you think about going back to Judaism? Because we've got something better. And so it is for us. We have something better. We have a better thing promised for us. We have received this promise that they were longing for. And so here we have what God has promised us in Jesus. We're going to sing the song as an invitation song, and it may be that some folks need to respond to that. Perhaps you've come to faith today, and you need to put your trust in Jesus and be buried in baptism, and we'd be happy to share with you in doing just that. Perhaps there are others who have sort of fallen away and need to come back and be His servants. We'd, again, be happy to pray with you if you need to do that. If you need to come, would you come as we stand?